Now, News Talk Radio CJAD 800 presents the CEO Series, insights from top business leaders. Your host is Carl Moore.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. The CEO Series takes you inside our capstone MBA class at McGill. Each week, we sit down with some of Canada and indeed the world's top leaders to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing business issues. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us, like Justin Trudeau, Muhammad Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize winner, and Eileen Murray, co-CEO of Bridgewater. The show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice of the kind of thoughtful leaders our McGill MBAs are exposed to. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with not one, but three leaders about how they're doing business in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. Frank Komar is the president and CEO of L'Oréal Canada. Lister Fernandez is the executive chairman of Strategy AI, and Craig Bunton is the CEO of Sport Logique. Thank you, Frank, Lester, and Craig for joining us today. Frank, we'll start with you. You're one of the few people that is allowed to go to the office. So the idea is that L'Oréal's products are essential for Quebecers and Canadians. Is that the essential argument?
We started to produce hand sanitizers, but we also have other products like cleansers. We also have a lot of soaps and shampoos in our portfolio, which are essential products. And then, of course, we have a big business in e-commerce, where we are also seen as an essential business. Actually, we've seen a huge swing in Canada towards e-commerce, and we both operate through our own sites. We have 17 sites in Canada for our brands. And then we also, of course, deal with either the retailers that have e-com facilities or pure players like Amazon or Beauty Sense or Etiquette and others.
So you're still selling through the drugstores that are open across the country, but the department stores like the Bay and all are closed.
Yeah, we have a very, we have four different divisions. One is the professional division, working with hairdressers and salons. Their business is basically completely stopped. The only business we do is really through e-com. And we're working very hard with the Association of the Hairdressers, but also with the government in order to have a safe and, approved sanitary plan in order to open up salons again. Department stores are closed, specialty perfumery chains are closed, and our own stores, we closed them as well.
But roughly what percentage would be going through the drugstores, which are still open? Is that a small part of your business or a substantial part?
No, it's a substantial part of the business, especially since Canadian drugstores, offer a wide variety of beauty products. Right now it's one of the key destinations for consumers to go to. But we also deal with doctors, which I forgot before, medical spas, they're closed as well. So it's, it's about, half of the business that go through drugstores and say the Walmarts and the Costcos and supermarkets.
How have you shifted the business to an online business?
Well, one way we were lucky because we always believed that, our website should not only be for content, but also should offer the service to purchase directly. Since in Canada, pure player online retailers were not very present, unlike, for example, the UK. There was a place for us to build a business even before COVID-19 hit. The weight was not that big, but for us was a great way of establishing ourselves, creating capacities in our distribution center to pick the orders and to work together with Post Canada to deliver that within really reasonable time frame. And as soon as the lockdown started, interest was high up there. And it's the safest way of purchasing our product. And what we had as an opportunity, of course, we have a huge database of people who in the past have purchased with us or were interested in our brands. So we can let them know that they can use our websites to purchase. Further, we acquired a startup in Toronto 2 years ago. Called Modiface, which actually allows you to virtually try on hair color or also makeup products. So you can be in the comfort of your home and you can try on the latest, red carpet look, or see, some root issues arising from hair color that maybe is overdue, whether a new color would be better, or you just use root products. And then you just order on the website and it's all delivered, with a reasonable delay. Even though we have seen, five times the volumes now than it used to be. But we get a lot of great comments. And I believe this is one of the changes that COVID-19 will provoke in Canada forever, that people are more open to shopping online.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today I'm speaking with Frank Colmar, CEO of L'Oréal Canada, Lester Fernandez, Executive Chairman of Strategy AI, and Craig Bunton, CEO of Sport Logique. Frank, have you had to lay off any staff at L'Oréal Canada?
We didn't furlough or lay off anyone. We actually first gave the commitment to our retail people and our sales force that we would, when we closed down the stores on March 17th, that we would commit to their employment and their salaries until end of April. And we prolonged that commitment until end of June. And then we believe, for us, this is very important in order to be ready for when the reopening starts. But we are also in a great opportunity that we can make sure that our business, which has substantially dropped, of course, but can be also supported through e-commerce. So in that sense, we didn't have to have those hard decisions yet.
When did you kind of realize that this wasn't just something for China, or that it really is going to impact your business? Was there kind of a day where you went, unbelievable, that the world has shifted?
We have the advantage of being an international company. So, of course, I was in contact with my Chinese counterpart. And, he already said, this is not just a Wuhan thing. This is, really across the whole nation. And even though Shanghai, where our main offices are, was not touched that much, it was clear that the potential threat of, being infected was a very, very important one to avoid in order to, because there's no cure for it. So as soon as it hit Europe, and we all remember those really very, very scary developments in Italy, it was very clear for me, for my management team, that whatever we can do, especially given the Canadian health system situation, that we need to do our part in order to flatten the curve. And I think so far we've jointly done a great job as a nation, as provinces, that's why closing the stores for us was one way of participating as good civic citizens.
Is China L'Oréal back? Have you heard any news that China and L'Oréal has got back into business there to some degree?
They're back and they actually had a positive Q1. What they have done really well is they were already very much focused on e-commerce, but they just, stepped up and drove the e-commerce business as long as everybody was in lockdown. And what then they did very successfully as well is that they used an event to bring back, beauty as an industry, which sometimes it's forgotten how important it is for the mental health and for the morale. It's sort of, take care of yourself. It's a very important aspect in beauty as well. Putting on lipstick, putting on some makeup makes women feel much better, even guys, taking care of yourself is an important means of keeping strong mental health in these trying times.
We're speaking with Frank Colmar, CEO of L'Oréal Canada, Lester Fernandez, Executive Chairman of Strategy AI, and Craig Bunton, CEO of Sport Logique. Coming up, we'll be discussing the effect of the pandemic on startups and investors with Lester Fernandez. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking today with Frank Kolmar, CEO of L'Oréal Canada, Lester Fernandez, Executive Chairman of Strategy AI, and Craig Bunton, CEO of Sport Logique. So Lester Fernandez, what is it you're up to these days? Give us just 1 minute on what your current activities are.
So I a couple of years ago, sold a business that I had helped co-found and start up in the payment processing industry, and reinvented myself, as people have to every so often, into a an investor with for my family holding company. And we, given my background, I've invested primarily in tech firms, early stage software companies, and have a little over about 15 investments around North America. And particularly, there is one that I'm excessively fond of called Strategy AI. And I've been really spending a lot of my time helping that business. I'm the executive chairman, helping that business grow.
So Strategy AI, what does it do and how big company in terms of, let's say, number of employees is it?
Started with nothing, grew to about 125 employees. I'll talk a little bit more about, you know, where we are today with the virus, but and in all areas of tech, all downtown Montreal, with a couple of people now as we start expanding in the U.S. And focus our sales efforts in the U.S. But definitely, you don't need to have a data scientist background to use a platform, and it brings these tools right into the hands of business analysts.
Since confinement, how has the Strategy AI activities changed? You're the executive chairman, which an executive chairman is someone who's more involved day to day than the average chair would be. So you really know what's going on. Since confinement, how has that changed the activities of Strategy AI?
I'd like to say it was business as usual, but it has changed. And as I mentioned earlier, we were a little over 125 people earlier this year. And when the virus hit and confinement, we were already looking to figure out how to run the business on a more efficient basis. And one of the things with early stage companies, and Strategy AI was no different, is that we were, first of all, successful in raising over $50 million last November. We closed with two very important investors, the Fonds Solidarité Travailleur du Québec and Investissement Québec, and as lead investors. But that included as well some international investors. And by us able to have this cash, it doesn't mean that we could just go and spend it very quickly. So we looked at ways to figure out how to make the business more efficient. And one of the things that we have already been thinking about, and unfortunately the virus hit, but we decided then to create temporary layoffs, which we are still in the middle of, and north of 30 people or so, unfortunately, we had to lay off while we continue to run the business. And what running the business means, and yes, I am executive chairman, so I am actively involved in the business daily as one of the management executives. And what we are continuing to do was build a platform that we had started over a year ago. That platform in its current form finally launched actually last week. So throughout the virus, even in confinement, we were still able to launch a great product, which is now coming to market as we speak.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and today I'm speaking with Frank Kolmar, CEO of L'Oréal Canada, Lester Fernandez, Executive Chairman of Strategy AI, and Craig Bunton, CEO of Sport Logique. Frank, have you had to lay off any staff at L'Oréal Canada? As an investor, this lockdown has changed everything for many companies. But it depends on the company, depends on the industry. Take us through how, as an investor, you look at where you want to invest, where you want to put your money after we come out of the lockdown.
All bets kind of fell off the table the minute the lockdown started. The markets, the public markets, and the bond markets, equity markets, everything just started going, currency markets started going crazy. The volatility was huge. And one of the key things that I learned in my past education was, how do you reduce something called VUCA? And VUCA stands for volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. It came from the U.S. military war colleges. And when you look at VUCA and you're saying, how in the world can I reduce all of those four elements of volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity? You look at strategies that help you do that. So as an investor, when you're looking at all of your personal investments or private equity or venture capital companies looking at their investments, the first thing that you do is you try to figure out what are the cash needs of those businesses? How long can they survive? What's their burn rate? Because all of a sudden, what has dried up is access to money and wherever that comes from. So the banks have lower rates for sure, which is great. Interest rates go down, but are they willing to lend? That's another question. So there was a quick review by everybody of their investment holdings of which companies were, as they rated them, green, yellow, or red. Then you focus on the red ones first. And with each week, the red ones change. Some become yellow. Some yellow ones become red. Some green go straight to red. And so you have this changing landscape of your portfolio investment. And 1 week turns into three, turns into six, before you start seeing some degree of stability, if you can. And once you start doing that, that's when you start saying, okay, where do we get the cash from those that really need it? There's short-term fixes and long-term fixes. Our approach at Strategy was, we'll deal with the long-term when the time comes. There is way too much VUCA with the long-term. So let's try to reduce the VUCA in the short-term. And that was one of the things that we've been focusing on with every management meeting, every day, every week, is how to reduce all those four components. We'll never get it down to zero, but definitely that's what we strive to do, looking at VUCA from a product, from a sales, from an operation, from an HR perspective.
What are the most positive industries in your mind, looking around Montreal? Where do you see the ones that will probably, they'll do fine, where other ones that are in more profound trouble? Like when you look at restaurants, I've heard that maybe a quarter of Montreal restaurants will shut down. But what do you see as the more positive and less positive sectors from your viewpoint?
Necessity is the motherhood of invention. And one of the things that's going to strive out of this is the whole concept of getting a food product or some service to the buyer and try to reduce as much of the intermediaries as possible. So with distancing and with automation and with e-commerce, I mean, you're going to see a lot more intermediaries popping up in the online space, in the software space, to really take care of that whole supply chain of bringing goods and services to the consumer and remove the intermediaries in between. So you're going to have a lot more home cooking, a lot more delivery of call it fast food, a lot more delivery of slow food, just that people's requirements are going to change. And a lot of people have jumped a couple of milestones by getting very comfortable with ordering online and using online services. And I think those delivery chains are going to get better. One company that currently helps the whole supply chain for grocery stores. A lot of people take it for granted, but now all grocery stores have some form of delivery. Well, there's restaurants now all of a sudden created delivery apps that are going very popular in this particular environment. I think that those will continue. So while restaurants won't disappear entirely, I think that the way that they deliver their product or service will change.
We're speaking with Frank Colmar, CEO of L'Oréal Canada, Lester Fernandez, Executive Chairman of Strategy AI, and Craig Bunton, CEO of Sport Logique. Live sports have been suspended since mid-March, but Craig Bunton, Sport Logique, provides analysis using AI to improve pro teams' performance. How is this business surviving the pandemic? I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking today with Frank Colmar, CEO of L'Oréal Canada, Lester Fernandez, Executive Chairman of Strategy AI, and Craig Bunton, CEO of Sport Logique. So Craig, what is Sport Logique, and what do you do?
So we are a team of 21 full-time PhDs. We do short responses that we make videos intelligent. So we'll take videos, particularly in sport. So soccer, basketball, or sorry, soccer, football, hockey. We'll take broadcast footage, track and analyze the videos using computer vision, and then send information about how the teams are playing. We work with teams to help them understand their own teams and their opponents better and win more games.
So what are some of the teams you work with? Like, what leagues are they in?
So primarily in those three sports, we work with almost every NHL team now. So 29 out of the 31 teams. We work with four NFL teams and sort of hopefully a handful of NCAA football teams as well, moving up over the next few months. And then in soccer, we have about a dozen or so teams that are just sort of starting to use our stuff for player recruitment.
So you've done very well. And how many years has it been in operation since you started it?
A little over, we founded the company in March of 2015. I was probably working for about a year and a bit before then and like early stage, just trying to get it off the ground. So almost 6 years.
With the confinement, how has that impacted your business?
I mean, there are a couple ways of answering that. I think in terms of the business itself, I mean, everybody knows there's no live sport. So we've had to very quickly pull the handbrakes on a couple of new and risky initiatives. It forced the company, like many startups, to grow up really quickly and focus on, you know, very straightforward KPIs and profitability. So, you know, a key focus on bottom line rather than top line revenue. You know, and just in terms of our second way of answering that question, in terms of how we're operating as a company, I mean, just as with everybody is, we're operating over Zoom. All of our meetings are, you know, are over video. We've got, you know, Sanka sets that we're doing over video. We've got, you know, physical fitness things we're doing over video. I mean, just trying to stay as connected as we can digitally.
When did it strike you that this is going to really change our business revenue this year? When was that, in February and March? Was there a time when you had an epiphany? You go, wow, the world's just changed for us.
Well, I was actually in Europe late February. You know, I was in the Netherlands. There was a meeting with FIFA that the last week of February. And that's really where it was like, okay, this is not only real, but it's coming pretty quickly. And so I was fortunate to have a couple people on our team who really kind of, you know, as soon as I got home, they were saying, okay, what is this going to look like if nobody can work from the office anymore? Which was a pretty out there statement to make in the last week of February. So what we ended up doing was we started doing a couple of small tests. We had a couple of divisions who we just kind of wanted to test our VPN and see if it was something that would be at all possible. And, you know, we sent a couple teams home for a few days, and just so that way it was like, one, we got to actually test how we can work from home, and two, we got to do it without, you know, setting the panic, hitting the alarm too loudly to start. But I'd say it really was the first week of March. So, you know, we acted really, really quickly. Within that sort of first week, 10 days-ish, we were all at home. And thankfully, you know, of the hundreds of people that are working with us, we didn't see any cases directly involved with the company.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and today I'm speaking with Frank Colmar, CEO of L'Oréal Canada, Lester Fernandez, Executive Chairman of Strategy AI, and Craig Bunton, CEO of Sport Logique. Frank, have you had to lay off any staff at L'Oréal Canada? NHL is one of your huge customers of the teams individually, and they stopped playing. So that moment you went, all of a sudden I don't have customers that need my services for a while. So that was a moment that really must have hit home to you.
It did. We do have a good portion of our company that is focused solely on live sport, on like the daily live sport. And so when sport ended, you know, we had to lay off a lot of those people just instantly, right? It was like, you know, they announced it and then suddenly games were done. And so that was really, really challenging. And I think a lot of that because many of those people aren't, you know, making a lot of money to begin with, and I know that they're going out now and unemployed in an economy where you're not going out and get another job. So it was really difficult to number one, move on that. In terms of the business itself, you know, we do have other business lines, right? And so what we did is we focused on things that didn't require sort of that daily game by game analysis. We pulled back on any sort of risky project, and then we focused really heavily on our core competency, which is computer vision and AI, and focused that directly with partners where we knew we could, you know, build product with them and launch those products once Ford gets back. So it was a really quick shift in overall business strategy.
So that's what we call emergent strategy, you know, and it's an entrepreneur, you pivot. But there was a few days when you just scratched your head and came and home and saw your wife, and well, you were already home at that point, I guess, and just said, I'm not sure what we're going to do. Or was it fairly quick that you could come up with a strategy?
Well, you'd be amazed at how many times, even in regular business, you actually say that. I think, you know, as a young company building up and growing across verticals, you find yourself in that situation often where, you know, you're kind of going, look, here's an opportunity, here's the resources that we can invest in it, and we're going to test until this point, then we're going to move. So like that type of emergent strategy or that situation where you've got to very quickly make an important decision, it's actually kind of become a cultural strength of ours. So in that sense, I mean, it wasn't as panicked as it might seem. We just got flat out lucky that we closed a financing round like 2 weeks before it all sort of hit the proverbial fan. So at the very least, you know, when we were making our strategy, we had to certainly change our overall approach, but it wasn't in a position where it's like, okay, we got, you know, a month of cash left. Like at the very least, we had enough in the bank to then say, okay, what's the best approach to ensure that we are running and we're ahead of the game when sport comes back.
Do you think the staff you've had to lay off, would you anticipate bringing most of them back by the end of the year sort of thing?
Well, that's the plan. The tough part here, the uncertainty is just, you know, the reason they're temporary layoffs is because we're speaking to customers who are telling us, look, we have no budgets, or we're off for the next month and we have no view on when it's going to come back. And we really can't invest in building unless we can plan for when that investment's going to return. You know, we no longer have, like, as with any tech company now, nobody has the luxury of building for the sake of building and hoping it works out. You know, if we're building a product, it has to have a 6 month payoff, right? And if we can't guarantee that revenue, or at least have a good view on what it's going to do, we can't invest. And unfortunately, that's just a really difficult message to deliver to somebody who's in a temporary layoff situation. So we hope, but we don't know. And, you know, I'm trying to just be as honest and transparent with all of our people as we can as we navigate that.
But they certainly understand. They, you know, they read the newspaper, listen to the news. They know what's going on. So there's not a surprise in it for them from their viewpoint.
Well, yes and no. I'd agree. But, you know, you can't underestimate the emotional turmoil that you feel if you're losing your job in a situation like this, right? And what I found is a lot of people will kind of hear what they expect to hear, or they'll be, you know, upset regardless. And, you know, I think we're just really empathetic towards that, and that, you know, we don't expect people to understand, but we expect to over communicate. We expect, you know, and we're approaching this as empathetically as we can, and just trying to keep as much open, transparent communication as possible with current employees who are working now and with people who we've laid off temporarily.
We're speaking with Frank Kolmar, CEO of L'Oreal Canada, Lester Fernandez, Executive Chairman of Strategy AI, and Craig Bunton, CEO of Sport Logique. Will workers have more flexibility to work from home in the future as we emerge from this pandemic? Up next, we'll find out how our three leaders are approaching the future work. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking today with Frank Kolmar, CEO of L'Oreal Canada, Lester Fernandez, Executive Chairman of Strategy AI, and Craig Bunton, CEO of Sport Logique. Frank, you have 1,300 people or so working from home. Do you think they're going to be much more relaxed at L'Oreal about working from home than you might have been a month or two ago?
Absolutely. And we had this discussion last week in my management committee where we said, you know, now that we hear that provinces are opening up, how will the plan be to, you know, bring back the people to the office? Because there's an important component as well, you know, of social contact while maintaining social distancing. You know, we're a very passionate, affectionate bunch of people. We are definitely missing, this part of the business. But what we've seen is working remotely works tremendously well for us. We're working on the Microsoft Teams platform, which we have actually luckily launched last November. And, we had a two-day flexible work from home policy already in place. And, what helped for us is that everything was set up and, everybody felt good at home. There's still challenges, especially now that the daycares are closed and schools are closed. We have a lot of young parents and you have to accommodate them. But overall, I must say, I'm really proud of my teams, how they've adapted. And I can see this moving forward, changing the way how we operate.
What have you learned about leadership during a crisis time like this?
First of all, this crisis is probably the most impactful crisis I've ever managed. And, I have now more than 25 years of experience. And what's interesting is, especially in the beginning where so many things were happening, you deal with, on one hand, of course, the authorities defining new rules. The cases were arriving left and right. It's all about having the right values. And for us and for me and my management committee was clear priorities on making sure that our teams are safe doing the utmost precautions in order to, inform everyone how to behave correctly and put also measures into place to help them protect themselves. And the second one was then what does it take in order to protect our business? Because we knew that this could be longer from the beginning. And, we wanted to make sure that we can commit to our employees that they will keep their employment and that we can commit to their base salaries.
Lester, how would you say leadership changes in a time of crisis like we're going through now?
Well, if we're in a recession, this would be my fourth one. This crisis is a little different than the past because being a health crisis, that's where it starts from. But there will be an economic crisis out of it, whether we care to believe it or not, it's going to be different. And the skill sets that you learn over the years, do they change? They don't. Because one of the things that's really critical in any crisis, it comes down to leadership. And I know that sounds like a motherhood statement, but in my case, where I invest in CEOs and management, I'm looking at how those managers lead in these tough times and really separates kind of the wheat from the chaff as to the one skill set that I look for in any of my CEOs as they are evolving through crises. And you can have acute crises, you can have crises that last months. This one is lasting months and is very different, and it's not over, so we'll see how it all ends. But one of the things that I look for is how caring is that CEO?
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and today I'm speaking with Frank Colmar, CEO of L'Oréal Canada, Lester Fernandez, Executive Chairman of Strategy AI, and Craig Bunton, CEO of Sport Logique. Frank, have you had to lay off any staff at L'Oréal Canada? A lot of students are graduating this time of year, will be shortly, including a bunch of the students I teach. I know your own daughter is a fairly recent graduate. What advice do you have for that generation as they look into the eyes of a recessionary storm?
It's a tough one. When I graduated from McGill many years ago, I graduated right into the storm of a recession. For new graduates, I would say that all the traditional ways of growth and career development are really going to change dramatically with what's happening right now. How are you going to compete to find a job with all the layoffs? That's just the reality of it. So you need to, as best, shore up your finances as best as you can. But it all comes down to really one word, and that's passion. And what is it that you are passionate about? And if there's a way, and I don't mean hobbies, I'm talking about passion. And for those things that you are passionate about, and it may not be anywhere near or related to the field that you studied in, is go after it. You'll probably excel at it better than anything else. And it'll probably take you into areas that you never thought that you'd ever be in. And it'll probably make you happier beyond belief because you're following your true passion.
Craig, what have you learned as a leader during this crisis?
Yeah, you know, what's funny is the company has a culture of being very open and listening to people, and, you know, decisions are made by consensus. This situation has just forced difficult decisions to happen really quickly, which just doesn't give you the luxury of kind of, you know, debating, discussing, and, you know, you do kind of need to draw a line. And I think in that sense, it's kind of, it's forced leadership to be just, you know, a little bit more direct and a little bit more, this is a decision top down, here it is, and we're going, and it's happening in an hour. You know, I think I like to think over the last number of years, we bought a lot of goodwill by being open and having, you know, leadership by consensus. And, you know, I think the team, the management team has really been on the same page and really been good with that. But I think if we were to kind of contrast the last few weeks compared to that, it's been very much, this is the decision, go.
How is life different working from home as a CEO as opposed to going to the office? Anything different about that?
Yeah. So I've got a 9-month-old and a 4-year-old at home, you know, working full time through this crisis as well. You know, I used to get worried when if I was at home and the older one walked into the room during a call or a meeting. I don't even apologize for it anymore. We're like, we're all in the same boat. He's become an honorary board advisor. Basically, he's been in every one of our board meetings walking in. You know, you have to prioritize what family emergencies, you know, like somebody can't find the right dish or some kids screaming over something. Doesn't matter if you're in a really important business call, you have to deal with that because that's a family issue. And just learning to relax and calm down through that and accept that, you know, this is just the way it is. So it's challenging. I mean, there hasn't been a moment of calm down and relax since this thing started. It's morning to night.
You were an Olympic athlete. Anything you can learn from the Olympics and connect with the pandemic?
Oh, 100%. You know, the best athletes in the world are not necessarily just the hardest working. When I look back at a 20-year athletic career, it's the ones who survived, you know, the ones who made it the full 10, 15, 20 years. At the end of the day, those are the ones that are the best simply because they persevered through tough situations, right? This is one of the things where, you know, what we've done since this crisis is we put our values up. Every week we have this spotlight session with the whole company, and we put our values up first. And it's, you know, sitius, altius, fortius, or faster, higher, stronger. This is one of the things where excellence through adversity, this is the thing that separates the champions from those who don't succeed. And it's times like right now where those companies are going to come out of it on top. And there's no better exaggerated example than sport.
This is the CEO Series. Frank, Lester, and Craig, thank you very much for joining us today. This show was produced by Marie LeBrosse. I'd like to also thank our technical producer, Brian Callisser. Thank you for tuning into the CEO Series. À la prochaine.
For more info and full interviews, go to cjad.com now.